You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Everyone knows on this podcast, I am the one who talks.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, but, we're recording this, guys. Let's do this again.
No, fine. Okay, hey, everybody. This is the... Sorry, I had a terrible joke in mind.
But I like it.
This is the podcast that knocks. Of course you do. Let's go.
So this is the review for the El Camino movie, a Breaking Bad movie, which... I totally knew this movie was going to come out because they did that whole fake out last year where they're like, oh, hey, Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul are going to be in the scene together. No, just kidding. It's a tequila brand. I knew that was a fake. I knew that they were lying to us and they were going to make a Breaking Bad project. Like, seriously. Was anyone surprised?
I was a little bit because I just was hoping, like, hey, just leave it alone. It ended in a spot that I'm comfortable with. And I'm always worried, like, oh, man, we got another idea. Let's do this again. So I'm like, hoping just don't do this.
Yeah, well... We got it, and here it is for better or for worse. So why don't we just get started? Shaq, first of all, let's introduce, like, Shaq, hey, how you doing, buddy?
Hi, I'm good.
Yeah. We also got Julian over here.
Hi, I'm not in Canada.
Yeah, we do have a surplus of Canadians.
We outnumber them, boys. Let's get them.
He used to be. He used to go to fucking school here.
We also got Alan over here.
Hi, I'm here also as one of the resident Canadians.
Yes, we do. And then we got our last Canadian here, Bradley.
Hello. Well, I'm a permanent resident. I don't got my citizenship yet.
You're
we'll see.
Canadian, Bradley?
Well, I'm a permanent resident of Canada. I'm working on getting my citizenship.
Oh, okay. Sorry to hear that. But that's
yeah, sorry you had to deal with all your free health care. It must be a real burden on your taxes.
I know, they were all like, you could be dead by 50, but since you moved here, you got to endure more life. And I'm like, damn it.
Well, for a movie this epic, we had to give a big giant crew because, I mean, everyone here, I'm sure everyone here is a big Breaking Bad fan, right? Like, watching
it's the greatest dramatic series that's ever been aired. And I'm not even saying that with a hint of irony or hyperbole. It's the fucking best.
Nah, it's overrated.
I agree.
As fuck.
I would challenge everyone here to not be as big a Breaking Bad fan as I am. I shaved my head and went as Walter White for Halloween. So I'm
beat you. I became a scientist.
you have to be a failed scientist who's then a school teacher.
Listen, I got the jump on all y'all. I've been smoking meth. What's up?
Okay, Shaq wins.
That's the takeaway that he got from the show. All the other
stuff
is like, nah,
it is. Like, hey, do drugs. Drugs are great.
No consequences whatsoever.
No.
Not at all.
Just this one rash that, like, I feel like I made, but whatever. I'm just going to itch it.
Yeah. So basically for this review, we're just going to say this up front, that anything that happened in Breaking Bad is fair game to talk about with this review, because you have to. This entire movie depends upon your knowledge of Breaking Bad going into it, really.
And surprisingly enough, not super specific, which is what I like.
Well, I mean, there's big plot points that rely you to know who certain characters are for them to make sense, kind of thing.
Yeah, I thought it got pretty specific, especially near the end.
Oh, well, the ending especially, when they brought in, like, the cavalcade of cameos for a giant ending sequence, where I'm like, oh, here's everybody else who they thought was relevant for the sequence. But you know what, Shaq, since you're on the review here, why don't you give us a setup here? What's the synopsis of where this movie starts?
Okay, so this takes place, like, pretty much immediately after the series finale. Jesse's on the run, like, he's finally escaped those fucking neo-Nazis. And first thing he does is naturally go over to his homies, Badger and Skinny Pete. They help him out. He cleans up. He's still very traumatized, considering he's been there for fucking months. Like, captured in the cage for months. So it's after that, he's just trying to find a way to just kind of escape and just get out of wherever he is. Like, he's just trying to find a way to not clear his name, but just kind of have his own personal redemption.
Yeah. No, that's basically the gist of this. Like, again, I feel like we should go into more spoiler talks maybe near the end of this, because there's a lot that's very specific about how this story ends kind of stuff. But
yeah,
we'll have a cutoff spoiler part, if anything.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. But, you know, it's funny, like it's funny where it starts off, like, literally, it starts at the very second after that cutoff of Jesse's clips at the end of Breaking Bad. like that, you hear the point where the audio cuts, you're like, oh, there's that rest of that scream that he did at the very end. But, man, I just gotta say, right off the bat, this movie was on a good, start on a good foot, because I freaking love Badger and Skinny Pete, and them, like, dominating with their comedy bit for the entire, like, first 5 to 10 minutes of this film was gold.
Got an apex, bro.
The beginning was good, and I love their dialogue, but this is a pet peeve of mine because I am an actor and I also play video games. So when I see actors
yes!
playing video games
yes!
and they're not pressing any fucking buttons, any of them.
It's not that they're pressing no buttons, nope. They're pressing all the buttons and it's not doing anything.
Well, but that's why Skinny he was yelling Pete, at him, because he wasn't apexing right.
Skinny Pete was shaking the controller and moving the joystick. I was like, just put your index down on the fucking trigger. Just do it, and I'll believe it. But he never did. That's just one little thing.
This is the level of nitpicky nerddom we're going to get with this review.
Oh, I'm not going to fucking go that far. He motherfuckers playing a video game shittily. That was a joke.
I guess. I mean, my biggest complaint that I want to get to first is, can we talk about the title of this movie and how, like, what the fuck is it? Like,
well, okay, so
it's just the car that he escaped in.
Well, not yeah, only the car, the but movie. Basically, because Al was mentioning that El Camino is Spanish for, like, the road, the way, the whatever, and that's, I'm sure, a very metaphoric title for, like, the road to redemption for Jesse and a whole bunch of stuff kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was the car because they called it.
It was the car.
It is the car.
It's called El Camino, but
it can have a double meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, maybe El Camino is all the friends we made along the way.
Is that going to be your joke in every review, Brad? Come on.
He yeah, said it
yes,
twice
it is.
Today.
Yes, it is. Trying to get it hashtagged.
I kind of like that, Bradley.
The thing is to go on with Justin saying, yeah, I was really enjoying this too because just them bouncing off each other, you can tell the chemistry that's going on, you can tell the camaraderie that they're going, and it kind of fills you up with a sense of hope that it's like, yeah, there are still people in Jesse's life that actually give a shit about him, because Jesse's an incredibly tragic character, and the fact that there are people that are still willing to help him, like, when they go through and like, okay, man, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you this, we're going to make sure this happens, we're going to make sure you can have a chance to get away, I felt like I was almost tearing up, because I'm like, wow, they're his friends that are still helping him out after everything that they've all gone through.
It was down to the cologne. It's like, listen, you got some obsession, got some Tommy Hilfiger. It's like, yo, make sure you smell good.
Man, like, that moment was, like, the moment that won me over for why I love Badger Skinny Pete at the end, where it's like, dude, you're my freaking hero. Of course I'm going to help.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
yeah.
Aww.
He's like, when he says, like, man, like, dude, like, what are you talking about? Like, you're a legend. Like, I wish I was you.
Yeah.
Like,
I was, like,
you
crying. I'm like,
dad?
Give him a hug. Just hug him out, please.
Yeah. Well, and so that's one thing I do like about this, is that in terms of tone and style and writing, it feels like they didn't miss a beat between this and Breaking Bad. Like, this literally does feel like if the show had just kept going for a few more episodes, this would be right in line.
Oh, yeah, no. If they just freaking it, it's not 10 episodes. It's 13. Like, this is what it would end up.
You can tell that Vince Gilligan, like, even though he finished Breaking Bad, he was like, yeah, this is where I'll stop. He definitely kept writing after that, and he had a lot of stuff left over.
Well, I mean, with all the stuff they're doing for Better Call Saul, I mean, like, he's in this universe entirely. Like, he is, mm-hmm. he hasn't left, honestly. But that's the thing, too, that I will say that's also to this movie's slight detriment. You've probably heard a lot of reviews talk about how this movie is entirely unnecessary in some degree.
Yes.
It kind of is. Like,
yeah.
I agree. This is one of those situations I describe it as. Breaking Bad is like a succulent roast beef. He spent years crafting it, making it, you're eating it, you're enjoying it. It finishes, and you're like, man, I am so satisfied. But then he comes with this wonderful bowl of ice cream. You're like, no, I'm satisfied. He's like, no, this is going to be great. This will finish off the meal. He's like, no, I'm satisfied. You still enjoy the ice cream, but yeah, it doesn't feel like it was necessary. Like, you could have...
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to hate ice cream. What are you like?
Exactly. You're not going to hate it. And well, I don't think anyone here does.
We joked about it on the messengers that we've been sending each other. Like, I feel like this is like DLC to Breaking Bad, where it's like, this is the the Citadel DLC from Mass Effect. It's like, it's not exactly necessary, but it's greatly appreciated.
It's the last the Last of Us DLC left behind.
And because there is a clear, like, someone cared about this, you know? Like, there was a lot of effort that went to this. Like, the thing that made me happy watching it was that it had original, iconic-looking shots in it.
Yeah.
Where I was like, there's the Vince Gilligan I know. Yeah, you whip it out and rub your dick all over the camera. That's what I love.
So, there's so many moments that you can tell that, like, he's like, I've always wanted to make a movie, but I didn't have the budget for it. So now that I do, I'm going to just go all out. And some of those shots look gorgeous. Dude, the apartment scene. Yeah, the apartment
Everything in that
scene,
apartment is incredible.
There's a scene with the gun, like where he's about to use a gun on somebody. Yo. And the way he comes out looks so fucking cool. And yeah, it still feels in tone with the series and like the style that it's had over the years. But it just feels on a grander scale while still feeling like a small scale story.
Well, it's funny too, because it actually didn't cost much more than Breaking Bad. I think the movie only cost about $6 to $7 million to produce, which
And those episodes were at least $1 million budgets a piece.
Okay, so I guess maybe it has more budget for one singular project. But then the cinematographer also is Marshall Adams, who's currently the cinematographer for Better Call Saul. So he knows how this looks. Kind of.
He knows what Vince Gilligan wants, and he'll just make him quiet. Because this clearly went well.
Oh, and honestly, like half the people who are involved with this are people from the production of Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad, because it's Skip McDonald editing, who's one of the Emmy-winning editors for the show. And then Dave Porter came back for the music, which the music's also really, really good in the show, too. So...
Even just the soundtrack.
Yeah, I was so happy that they brought back that classic, like, do-do-do-do-do. I can't even make the sound right.
Yeah. Classic. No, definitely. But yeah, there's a lot of... You could tell it's like, he just like, hey, I have a Breaking Bad episode in mind. And you just see the budget. Because even just from the shots and the cameras, you're like, okay, you got the... Because you always worry about the situations where a director is like works on a low budget and then gets like five times their budget and they just fuck it up. But like, no, like this just feels like the same quality level. It just looks better.
Yeah.
And that quality level is like peak. It's as good as it gets.
9 out of 10. Go eat your ass out, Game of Thrones. Like, this is how you end your fucking story.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, Shaq. I had to get one in.
Okay. We're enough. I think we're all done talking about the amazing Bran ending. But
I'm done for this review, but I'm not done in general.
Well, but that's also a good point to say. Just like the way that the story progresses in this, it's like when I say this is literally two more episodes of Breaking Bad. It feels like that in terms of its pacing and the scale of the conflict, because when you think about the actual plot of what Jesse has to do in the story, it's not really like it's like simple. A giant movie plot per se.
No, it's very convenient for convenience's sake in a lot of ways.
Not inconvenient. It's fairly low stakes for what should be the ending of the show. You know what I mean? Like it's literally wrapping up every little detail that was left hanging from the series.
Well, no, it's literally the definition of an epilogue. It's like, hey, the climax happened. You got the ending. But now we're going to peter it out to just this fine level, and it's over. Like, there's no other stories that you should tell. Obviously, you can't because poor writing. Like, you can make anything out of garbage. You can do anything with garbage quality. But, like, yeah, it plateaus and it ends exactly. Like, this is probably what he wanted to do. It's just either he said, you know what, I'm going to end it here, or AMC or whatever just didn't want to give him the rest of the budget to do the movie.
I mean, I don't know. But, Shaq, you've been quiet over there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I kind of feel the same thing, where it's just like it doesn't really need to be like a grand thing. It is just a coda for the series, and even then, like the way the movie progresses, like the actual like continuation isn't really that long, because they pepper it in with a lot of flashbacks. Most of it is from like his time in like when he was in captivity in between like Walter going and hiding and shit, and those moments are really, really cool, and some of them are not like some of them are not as interesting as others. But it's just the way they're more focused on like his interactions with some of these characters. So like, I mean, like one of the obvious ones because he was in captivity is Todd, Jesse Plemons, who is still a creepy fuck. My God,
I love him.
I love him, but he's so creepy.
Like this is probably the creepiest he's been too. Like in terms of what he has to do in the story, you're just like, jeez, dude.
It feels like he's still playing his thing. Like it feels like Game Night. He's like, oh man, I really liked what I did in Game Night. I bet I could do that again. Because all I could think of was Game Night.
Jesse Plemons has great range. He's been a variety of characters in a lot of different stories. So I'm excited to see what he does in the future too.
I will say though, like as much as I love Jesse Plemons in this, and I thought he was really good. It's so obvious that time has passed because man, he has not
he got
that
doughier.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like that young neo-Nazi kid anymore.
No, that's the sad thing. I mean, some characters
who come back in other flashbacks, you could tell that like, oh, this doesn't like you guys clearly filmed this like recently and not like during the show.
I thought they framed and lit a lot of them really well. You were able to buy it, you know.
Well,
and
I mean, at first
you could buy it, but there's always like little things that you're like, okay, you know what? it doesn't take me out, but it's like, it's there.
I think that Jesse Plemons' character Todd basically was the only one that I'm like, yeah, but I was like, you know what? I'm enjoying this movie. I'm gonna let that go, because everything else, like everyone else's that pops up, I'm like, you know what? Y'all look like exactly what age you should be.
Well, the core group of people, like Aaron Paul and Badger and Skinny Pete and those guys look exactly the same. Like that one helps a little bit. It's a lot of the older characters, some of the side characters who like a little bit disconnect.
And one thing we haven't mentioned, speaking of Skinny Pete. How cool, like, looking back at the trailer that Netflix released, I love that now. Because that wasn't even in the movie. I appreciate that so much more.
Yeah.
Because it was necessary for the movie to exist, but, like, you can imagine, like, that's, like, a deleted scene of, like, hey, that probably was in the movie, but now you have extra content as opposed to it taking content away.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And it's a really, really well done production. Like you say, like all this camera work, all the editing, all the progression of the story. Like it feels like classic Breaking Bad in the way the story's being told.
It makes me miss. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say it makes me miss. It almost makes me want to go back and just rewatch the entire series because it's just like missing all the. Because again, the tone, the way the story progresses, it does. This is literally an episode of Breaking Bad in the best way possible. Because yeah, it's fucking one of the best shows ever made. Like.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, again, that weird complaint that is still true that this movie is rather superfluous to the story. It's still to say that everything they did was done very well. Even, and one thing we have to address is, you know, among the cameos, there's one notable one, which is even more tragic because of the news that happened literally the day of the release. But Robert Forster does show up in this, and this is sadly his final role because he died right when this premiere happened. So
it was shockingly, like, recent. Like, I had just finished the movie, maybe, like, 6 hours later, I see that news pop up, and I was like, what the fuck?
Dude.
And especially because his scene with Jesse is so good.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It just hurt that much just thinking about it.
He plays that material so well, and you buy what he's selling. Like, I need a Hoover vacuum, like, right now.
I need a Dyson vacuum. I don't care about the price. I'll buy it. Because I was the same way. I was like, I was watching the movie. I'm like, wow, that was a great movie. I'm really glad I watched it. And then I just get a text message. He's dead. I was like, what? What the? What? I just fucking finished watching the scene. What the?
Also,
fuck
his
on?
Scene has like one of my favorite bits. That I won't say what the bit.
It
has one of the best parts of like Breaking Bad. That like subtle humor that you're like you don't expect, but when it hits so hard.
That was amazing. I laughed my ass off.
But yeah, speaking of performances, though, man. I'm gonna throw this out there because I don't think I love the movie as much as you guys. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I really really enjoyed it, but I think that the best part, hands down, was Jesse's performance. Like,
Aaron Paul.
Yeah, Aaron Paul.
Holy shit, Aaron Paul's an incredible actor. That is a shame that Need for Speed had to be his fucking big movie debut.
Yeah. He's gotten Emmys, I think, for this role, right?
Yeah, something like that. I'm really glad that he was able to, you know, drive right out of Breaking Bad into Need for Speed and then be like, oh, hold on, let me put this bitch in reverse and go right back into Breaking Bad.
Dude, this is almost like the end game. It's a time heist where he goes back after doing all those movies too.
He realizes it was a mistake, so he has to go back and fix the problem.
Oh my god, could you imagine if they had another version of this movie where it ends like Jesse's screaming and then all of a sudden Captain America appears like in the passenger seat?
CW's doing Crisis on Infinite Earth. They're getting everybody. That's gonna be the next fucking plot line.
Oh brother.
Jesus Christ.
No, but yeah, Aaron Paul, like this, I've always said Aaron Paul is a vastly underrated actor because he shows up in a bunch of stuff he's really good in, but it never feels like he gets the credit for how good he is except for when he's in stuff like Breaking Bad. Because this really is his show. Like the entire way through.
I think what it is he understands the human condition of not necessarily being an underdog, but being someone that's just at rock bottom and is just scurrying to survive. He is a man that's drowning and trying to keep his head above water. He is perfect for that role, and that's what the world of Breaking Bad is people just trying to keep their head above water. The problem is they keep trying to put him in fucking superhero roles and shit like that. Like, I don't know what Westworld's going to be like, but it's not where his range is in here, is in the Breaking Bad universe, and I think they need to start capitalizing on it, not trying to copy it, but trying to keep that character that's consistently trying to win.
Oh yeah, and even just the fact like they show, like we said, there's a bunch of flashbacks and flash forwards and other stuff. Just that they have a flashback going back all the way to season like 2, I think, of him. And you're just like, yep, he totally understands this character's progression all the way through.
I'll just say this, based on what Alan just said, it makes me want to see Aaron Paul in a Safdie Brothers movie so bad. My god.
Oh yeah, man, he would fit right in there.
Like, though then the problem
plays Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems, and but,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that literally is though just be the plot of El Camino because he's more or less playing a Safdie Brothers character if you think about it. So
at least this one has less urgency in the moment than it does in a grander sense. Yeah. But yeah, no, Jesse, like Aaron Paul, fucking owns this. Like he brings out so much because you know he loves this character to death.
Yeah.
This is like, of course, because like it's the role that made him, but it's just he brought so much more than he even did on the show. Like I would say at the peak of the show, but something on par with like his best moments on that show, he brought consistently in this movie.
I mean, Jesse is a big part of him, and you can tell that a lot of that character was just things that he brought to it naturally. Like, like the way that they, and also, I don't know about you guys, I appreciated how little they used the word bitch in there, because that was one thing I was like, gonna watch this, I was like, are they gonna have this moment where this sad dude has gotten beaten the fuck up and then he's gonna call someone a bitch? Like I'm gonna be like,
well, because he grew out of that.
He showed his character growth. Because
Badger's guinea pig did it for him.
Well, yeah. They did crowbar one use of it in the flashback sequence.
Well, okay, but the thing is, I don't think that was.
Well, that was a flashback before the growth.
Yeah, but the thing is the reason his character like started doing that because he was just a punk kid. But as the character progressed and grew and he became more desperate, he stopped using that as the seasons went on. So it made sense that Camino, he's not going to use it. So that flashback was to be like, yeah, that's what the character used to be, and this is what the character is now.
Yeah.
No, I agree, and I like that a lot about his performance. I mean, it's just that's why I think this is, even though it is superfluous and not really necessary for Breaking Bad, it's clear that this was a passion project. Like this wasn't just a thing they did just because kind of thing.
Oh yeah, no, and you could tell like there's a fuck ton of care into this. It's not a situation where it's like even if you walk out of this going you didn't necessarily like it or you maybe agree with us saying that it wasn't necessary, you could tell that he didn't just do it because of a paycheck. It's not like Netflix. Well, here's whatever $1 million, do whatever you want. It's like no. He's like, I kind of want to do this. I've always wanted to do this, and here's this little idea I can do. It's like now I get a chance to do it to the best quality I can think of. And
not a moment of it is half-assed. That's what we can say.
Not a single one.
Yeah.
Everything is whole-assed.
I don't know if I would say half-assed. But I think that there are moments in here that are a little bit silly, for lack of a better word. Like, there was one moment, like, can I talk specifics here?
Well, you know what?
Specific, but be vague.
Well, let's just say, like, we should do, like, a little bit of a spoiler talk at the end, because I think there's some stuff we do want to talk about of what happens at the end. So we'll save that for after the final reviews, the final ratings.
Okay, well, I guess then there's just certain, there's, besides, like, things that happen for convenience's sake, leaving it vague, in my opinion, I thought that something was, I was like, all right, that seems a little easy, but I'll let it slide. And then at the end, I thought that it went a little bit over the top. Like it's
oh,
like,
I think I know what you're talking about.
This is a big movie, so we gotta have big things happen. And right before that happens, it's like, guys, this is not realistic at all. Like, I get it, there are drugs in the room, but come the fuck on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think this is a good place to start doing some final thoughts before we get into more deeper spots. So, you know, Bradley, why don't you start us off here? Like, what are your final ratings and final impression?
Well, I enjoyed this a lot. Like you said, is it necessary? I think when incredibly talented people get together with a good direction, great choreography, any story really, of course it's necessary. You know, things should be done well, and Vince Gilligan and crew do things very well. I love the editing, the seamless drifting between present day and flashback. It's not televised to a point where the audience is insulted. I really enjoyed that. My only nitpick is the flashback sense where the characters look older. Like TV show Todd looks like Matt Damon from School Ties, and this Todd looks like Matt Damon from The Informant. Yeah, that's my only nitpick.
He looks like he's turning into Philip Seymour Hoffman from The Master at some point. Oh,
Jesus. Yeah. That's good casting, though, because he could grow up to be that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that was spot-on casting in The Master when he was playing his son. And it's like, oh, now he's turning into Philip Seymour Hoffman.
So, you know, while I was watching this, I was thinking, I probably wouldn't watch this movie after I finished the Breaking Bad series. But when I finished the movie and thought about it, this is definitely something I'm going to revisit after my regular binge of Breaking Bad. So I think in all, that makes it a huge success. I wouldn't say I'm going to go crazy and say, oh, I hope they make another Breaking Bad movie and we get to see what kind of breakfast Walt Jr. has.
Okay, relax. Relax, Bradley. Relax.
We need
this. But yeah, I'll give it.
The streets need this.
8 Mexican standoff references in 10 spaghetti western movies. That's what I get.
Well, so it does sound like, though, they did confirm that there is going to be no sequel to this. Like, this is ending for now. So
They're going to break down his door with a fucking log made out of money. They'll be like, we're going to get it in the fucking right.
Don't you guys want to know what Marie is up to?
Oh, man.
No. She's still wearing purple. That's it.
Yeah. We got to see what happens to Skyler, man.
She became an assassin. Fuck it. She became an assassin like John Wick. And she's killing all drug dealers.
Like, if any spinoff was to happen, I would love a prequel series about Hank. That could be cool.
It has to be Hank and Gomez together.
But even that, I'll admit, is a bad idea.
Yeah. No, at this point, hey, the universe is over. We finish off Better Call Saul and then finish this universe over because we're getting too lucky and too much good is coming out of here. I don't need some bad shit to happen.
Yeah, I hope the next season of Better Call Saul is the last. Not because it's a bad show. It's a freaking great show. This should be winding down to a close, I think. So.
Like, I keep hearing that Better Call Saul is the most underrated thing on TV right now.
It is. It's, like, literally one of the best shows on TV right now.
One of my favorites. I definitely gotta watch. Especially after this, I gotta watch it.
Oh, yeah. No, I only made it to 2 seasons so far, but I need to catch up so bad. Like, that's what I'll say. Like, I'll do my final thought leading it to you guys. This really reinvigorated my love for Breaking Bad to the point I need to go back and finish Better Call Saul so I can catch up for the next season, because it shows why this show works so well. It's just so well-paced, well-written, well-directed, well-acted. And again, like we said before, this is basically Breaking Bad DLC, but it's good DLC. It's basically just, if you want to know more, you can watch this and just go, okay, that was a satisfying ending. And it pretty much ended right where I thought it was going to, which isn't a bad thing. It was exactly where it should have ended, I think, for this story. So, I think on the whole, I'm more or less on Brad's side here. I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 totally out of nowhere Mormon references.
Oh, yeah. What was that about?
That made no sense whatsoever. I don't get what that was about. Anyways, you know what? Alan, why don't you go ahead?
What are these things? Okay, so when we first saw this trailer, I think we did it for Breakfast Pub, so I think me and Shaq were on there yelling at each other like we normally do. So I want to issue an apology to Shaq. As I told Shaq, I'm like, no, Breaking Bad ended perfectly. This is going to be just, it's going to somehow ruin it. It's going to somehow tarnish it. And Shaq was like, no, it's Vince Gilligan. He knows what he's doing. So I just want to use this to apologize to Shaq that he was right. I was wrong.
Today is a great day, you know?
Because I was walking through, I'm like, I'm not going to like this. But then, like, 10 minutes in, I was like, whoa, shit, 10 minutes passed. I'm like, okay. That's a sign I'm enjoying this because I'm not paying attention to the time. And as I went through, I'm like, yeah, this has low stakes, but I love that. I'm so sick of everything having, like, the end of the world stakes. I like this human story of he's just trying to survive to the next day. I like how they're just bringing up all these references, but everything feels natural. Every time they go to a flashback, it leads into the next part of the plot. So it's happening at the same time. Like Bradley said, it's not shown so obviously. Everything flows through together. So as stuff is happening, even though some things might be coincidence, it all leads into, for me, a satisfying ending. And yeah, it reinvigorated my love. I'm just thinking about all my favorite episodes, all my favorite moments of Breaking Bad. That, you know, Aaron Paul's in a lot of them. Like, the whole he can't keep getting away with it is a gift I use all the time. Because of how much I love that fucking scene. So, if you've seen Breaking Bad and you're just as worried, like, oh, this might ruin it, then no. This is exactly the same quality. And when the hell can you ever say that about anything? It's like, hey, we did a movie or whatever a few years later, and it's just as good. So this is a 9 out of 10 annoying Lou stories that out of nowhere.
I love that dude, Lou. He's great.
I do too, but I'm just like, motherfucker, we got a movie to do. Get off.
That's the point. He just comes in, just goes, hey, can I say something? No. Stop it. Julian, why don't you go ahead?
I've been waiting to say this ever since I saw it. This is what I wanted to say for my final thoughts. It's not a whole lot. I think I'm, like, on the same page with you guys, but I'm going to be much more harsh. Okay. I think that this is the worst episode of Breaking Bad you've ever seen, but that's still pretty amazing because Breaking Bad is the best TV show ever made. I think that this has, like, some moments where, like I mentioned earlier, where I was like, that's a little convenient for me. But I like the way this plays out. I love the characters and I love this world. So it's hard for me to not, like, just, like, fall back in love with this thing. So I don't have much else bad to say about it. So I, without, like, spoiling things, if you will, but, I'm right there with you guys. I'm going to give this, 8.2 kilos of blue high grade meth.
One of these days, I want to know what your rating system is in your head that you're going point twos.
82 out of 100.
Ah,
that doesn't.
There you go.
That there's a lot more questions now.
Not enough water.
Well, last but certainly not least, Shaq, you laid it on.
Okay.
Man.
Yeah. No. At this point, I'd just be repeating what everyone else is saying. Like, this is just a nice little bonus add-on to the greatest show that's ever been made. I'll say this also. If you haven't watched Breaking Bad and you're jumping into this like, oh, can I see this as a movie by itself? No, the fuck you can't.
No.
You absolutely
Why
cannot.
Do people still ask that?
I don't know, but I know there's people who are just like, you know, I'll give it a shot and maybe I'll watch the show after. Don't ever do that. That's like jumping into a series on the last episode. That's just stupid.
I did that for Game of Thrones.
Exactly. That's fucking stupid. So, but anyway, yeah, this is inaccessible to the casual viewer, but this is basically what a Breaking Bad fan would want out of a movie like this, where we follow what happens next to Jesse. Everything is, like, it still maintains the same quality cinematically, acting-wise, character-wise. It's all still consistently solid, and that's pretty much everything I wanted and could ask for. It's no more, no less. Also, for the people, going back to the casual people, don't expect like a slam bang action crime drama thing.
No, nope.
It's not that. It's just a small character piece that just happens to take place over the course of like 2 days.
Yeah, there's really like no action until the very last like 20
there
minutes.
There really isn't. There's no then, real action scene. It. But that's not what this is for. Like, you don't need that. So overall, yeah, no, I highly enjoyed this. I doubt Aaron Paul's gonna get recognition for it from, like, considering this is a movie, I doubt he'll get like Critics Awards Association stuff, but he should get a couple nominations, I hope. But
I hope they can't be in this,
because
then it
gets status as a Netflix movie. You don't know how they're gonna go. They're really finicky with that. Well, but
they released it in theaters, so it has a shot. That's the rule.
True. Okay.
It has more of a shot than it wouldn't, but man.
But hey, no, it does. So I hope they do, because man, this is his role. This is one of my favorite performances this year, honestly. So yeah, I'll give it 8.5 badly played video games out of 10.
You got an Apex, man.
You got an Apex.
You gotta press the fucking buttons.
What fucking game was he playing, by the way? Like, I don't know what he was playing. Some discount.
I think
like
he was playing GTA 5.
It looked like a GTA game because I recognize. Fuck, it could be GTA 4 because I recognize.
No, that's GTA 5. It's just he's playing in first person mode.
Yeah.
Which, if it's GTA 5, I'm sure that's a sly reference to the fact that Trevor was in Better Call Saul. So
right.
True, but like if you look at the screen, he's playing in the shittiest first person view possible. So it's just a whole screen. And he's
but
driving.
GTA 4 was all in New York. They were in like the desert.
I thought it was just like honestly,
the way they did that was kind of a trick, because you're thinking, oh, it's still Jesse driving, and he just slams into a thing. It's like, no, that's really badly rendered. It's like, oh, okay, that's not real life.
That was a great transition.
Yeah, I actually love that transition too.
Oh, that's why the editing is always great in Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. Yeah. Like, it's just such innovative cuts and unique little tricks they do throughout it.
Because it'll make you feel dumb for thinking things. I was like, what the fuck is going on? That looks like shit. And then it'll turn around and go, I know it's supposed to. It's a video game, dumbass. Shut up and watch. I'll be like, okay.
Oh, man, this camera quality went to trash. It went from 4K to 480p.
Listen, I know we all love this movie. So now that we're all in like a love fest, where we're all in that Breaking Bad mood again, who's down to smoke some meth with me?
Okay. Well, if we can finally get into some issues, because there is an issue, but the only reason, only way I can talk about it is through spoiling.
Yeah. So here we okay. go. Before we smoke, hold that bowl for a second. Before we smoke.
Is it a bowl? Is that what you do with it? I honestly have no idea.
You get a crack pipe. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to talk about a few things with the spoiler details, because I mean, I know there's a couple little nitpicks that Julian, Alan, a few other people are dancing
around.
Let's
keep it short, though.
Yeah. So let's just say, like, you think, Alan, you were about to make a point there. What were we going to say was one of your biggest
complaints? Okay. I am starting with spoilers, so you can't yell at me afterwards.
Yeah. Spoilers right now.
One of the reasons that I argue with Shaq that I didn't want this to exist at all is because I think Breaking Bad ended in a perfect spot of when Walt gets shot. There's a situation where you're not sure. It's like, hey, maybe he dies or maybe he gets caught by the cops. I was okay with either way. I was okay with never knowing. I was okay with the story ends here and the characters just drift off and whatever happens, happens. With this story, they confirm Walter White is dead, and that saddened me a little bit because now I have a confirmation. See, now I know that that character is dead.
I'm amazed that you had any doubt on that, because it seemed pretty obvious from the show that
You see, he could have survived. Again, this motherfucker has survived a lot of crazy bullshit.
I think his soul literally ascends out of his body.
The only question about that, because no, it was pretty certain that he died. It was whether it was the gunshot or the cancer.
Okay. That's the only thing that was uncertain. Yeah. And they confirmed the gunshot because like it's like what, a day afterwards, so it's not like the cancer just killed him 30 seconds into
the fucking shootout. That's also a big ass fucking machine gun. Yeah.
It's been killing him for years, Alan.
Yeah, because I mean that's the thing. Like he took a gut shot from a .50 caliber bullet into it's like I'm pretty sure just from the internal bleeding alone he bleed out. And
yeah, but again this is a show that has done some crazy stuff. Like movie magic exists. Like it's just one of those situations where it's like I don't know if I would have preferred if they just never said anything. But that
did you want Walt to be like I'm dying in the final shot or something?
I don't know what I wanted, but in other words, it's like I didn't want this. I didn't want this to exist because I like the idea of like maybe he survived somehow.
I think if they had indicated he would survive, I would have lowered my score hard.
I would have turned this off. I would not.
I would have
been worse if he survived. I don't know if I would have preferred if they just never mentioned it.
Right, well, I gotta get going though, so let me
yeah,
throw
no,
my
Julian, what's your thing? Because if it's the thing I'm thinking of, then
So the one thing I want to mention in the middle of the movie is when he goes back there and he finally has found the money, and then the people who look like cops but they turn out to not be cops. I was like, all right, I'll let that slide, but that's very convenient for convenience's sake, in my opinion.
I'm amazed Jesse didn't figure out they weren't cops. Like, I suspected immediately. Like, I think these guys are impersonating.
It was odd that if they're just going to break into this house, why dress up like cops at all?
They had a key.
Well,
They even had.
No. He literally sees it through the key.
Like, I can only see that as like not like it is a little convenient, but I can see it makes sense considering they had the flashback of like those Todd and those characters interacting. And then it's like, okay, so they know who they are. And then I'm assuming they watched the news and they heard, hey, yeah, all those people are dead. And then Jesse's on the run. So it's like, okay, so if Todd is dead, then he might have money stashed away somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it was that one bit. Like, I'll let it slide. Like, the biggest fault to me in this movie is when they stop and to have, like, a showdown, if you will.
Yeah.
Like, I was waiting for a...
Seriously, the movie ends with a spaghetti western shootout.
I thought that was awesome. You didn't like that?
I liked that a lot, but
he had a second gun the whole time?
Awesome?
I didn't see that coming.
I liked that, but I thought the way that they built it up and like, dude, no one would ever be in that situation and be like, let's do this.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
It was very moving.
If I was doing cocaine, I'd be like, guys, one of you is about to die right now. Like, are you fucking crazy?
Dude, has there always been six of us in this room?
But yeah,
with it because it was just like, it was a bit crazy. But again, this is a show that does kind of crazy, over-the-top dramatic stuff all the time.
It was very, very grounded for me. That's why I love Breaking Bad so much, because it's the greatest concept ever. It's so realistic. It's someone who's cooking meth because they know how to do that shit, and they're only doing it to pay for their cancer treatment.
It's real, but like, we can't forget that there are some kind of crazy action movie stuff that's been that show all the time.
Gus alone.
Gus's death alone, come on.
Yeah, it's very, very cinematic, but I can still buy it. But what I couldn't buy was the reason why they needed to have a giant-ass explosion.
Yeah, that's movie. Exactly what I was thinking you were talking about.
Like, that massive fuck, explosion. Guys?
That Michael Bay-ass napalm explosion.
Yeah, like, they showed him setting that up.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
It's like, yo, that takes some fucking balls to take, what's that thing called? The thing that shoots out the fire? What, the...
Oh, the propane tank.
Welder or whatever. Yeah, just taking that thing and just setting it up on a tank. It's like, okay, dude, you got more balls than me. I would never set that up. But I guess
I would. I'd also drive as far away as he did.
Alan, let's be fair. You would not be able to reach over the top and hang it up like that.
Aww. Hey, there are chairs there.
All right. But,
improvised, motherfucker.
I don't know if you guys got much more to say, but I got to go.
That's pretty much it.
There's some blue meth over there.
Drive off into the sunset,
name.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say this quickly, just that, yes, for people who are wondering, as much as we talk about with Walt or whatever, he does cameo. Bryan Cranston does show up in a flashback.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that, bro, that hairpiece, that's what I wanted to bring up.
That
hairpiece
cap?
That he had.
Yeah.
That ball cap. Someone said, starring Bryan Cranston as Megamind. I'm like, yes, that's the
fucking that was bad. I tried not to notice it, but I noticed it.
Yeah, and
but that hair was too shiny. Too shiny.
Yeah, and of course it ends with Aaron Paul getting, you know, going to Alaska, like they kind of hint at it, so... Okay, cool. That was a decent ending. Like, it wasn't like the best ending ever, but I'm like, it's not the worst either. So
it's the it's a natural ending, especially considering the way the movie opened with him and Mike. But yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. That's now we can end. All right. Pass the bowl.
Now you can smoke your math.
Yeah, I ain't doing math. I know how that ends.
Oh, come on. You're only going to lose a couple teeth.